Let me start with the story. The story of two men and two prayers. It's a story Jesus told. It's in Luke chapter 18. To some who are confident of their own righteousness and look down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. Kind of sounds like the start of a joke, doesn't it? But it's not. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers and adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Two men, two very different prayers that reveal very different things about what they're thinking, and that reveal different things about where those two men are at with God. As you hear that story Jesus told, which of the two men do you feel you're most like? Which of the two prayers looks most like the way you pray? When you talk to God, do you find yourself drifting into thinking about the good things you've done? Into thinking about how pleased God must be with you? Comparing yourself to other people? Assuming things are all good? Maybe they're drifting into kind of asking for some things after that. Doing well, and here's some things I'd like. Or do you pray more like the tax collector? Are you remembering that before God, you're a sinner? You're guilty. That you need forgiveness. Or as we get to this part of the Lord's Prayer, we've been working through bit by bit, slowly looking at each line, that Jesus teaches his disciples to pray. We're up to the bit where Jesus says, forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. We're up to the bit that talks about forgiveness. And as we think about Jesus teaching us how to pray, at the same time, he's also giving us a snapshot into what his kingdom is all about. What it means to see the world as one of his followers. And it's pretty important that his disciples get their head around this, and it's pretty important that we get our heads around it. That we are people who before God are sinners. And we're sinners who need forgiveness from our Heavenly Father. That's something that shapes who we are in relationship to God. Sinners in need of forgiveness. We're going to think about this in three steps, if you want to follow along. One, needing forgiveness. Two, praying for forgiveness. And three, embracing forgiveness. That's where we're going, if you want to follow along. But we're going to start with needing forgiveness. See, Jesus teaches his disciples to see themselves as debtors, needing forgiveness. That's what he says in this part of the prayer, Matthew 6 verse 12. This is what you're to pray. Forgive us our debts. This is the big assumption that we have debts, isn't it? Jesus' disciples have debts that need to be paid. What type of debts are these? Do they owe God money they need to pay back? Well, not quite. And if you keep reading down a bit further, we see exactly what he means in verses 14 and 15, don't we? He expands, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. What's he talking about being forgiven? It's not just kind of debts in a random sense. It's not money. It's the debts related to sin. That's the debt that Jesus' followers, his disciples, have with God. They have failed God, failed to live his way, failed to honor him as God, failed to listen when God says this is the way that life works best, failed to live up to the standard, failed by crossing over the boundaries and doing things they shouldn't. It's not just the kind of the 12 guys that Jesus was hanging out with, particularly at the time. This is a problem that everyone has. Later we read in the Bible this, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Everyone. That's the people that were hearing this from Jesus straight from his lips. It's everyone who's ever read it since. It's all of us sitting here tonight. We have all failed God. We have sinned. And you know what? Sometimes our sin is in external, in obvious ways that people can see and notice, and we know about that when we tell a lie and someone hears it and catches us out. It's pretty obvious, isn't it? We all know. When we mess up in a relationship, we do the wrong thing. It's pretty obvious. When we commit a crime and get hauled before the courts, it's pretty obvious. There's those kind of big external things. But there's also sin that's hidden. Sin that no judge ever gets to hear about, that none of your friends ever see. The sin that happens in our hearts. It's completely hidden from anyone. Well, except God. God sees the depth of our hearts. Sin like our pride, our arrogance, our jealousy, our hatred. In fact, if you were to read the kind of chapter right before this, Jesus is kind of doing a lot of teaching with his disciples, and he's just spent almost the whole of chapter 5 teaching them about how sin isn't just on the outside. It's not just the kind of breaking the rules. It's what goes on in your heart that's still sin. It doesn't matter if you don't murder someone, but you still hate them. Jesus says, well, you're still sinning. Maybe you haven't committed adultery technically, but if you're still lusting in your heart, Jesus says, what's the difference? You're still sinning. You're still failing to live God's way. Sometimes we treat the obvious and external things like they're more important. They're easier to see. They're easier to kind of look down on when other people do them. But before God, we're all sinners, whether other people can see it or not. Sometimes it's easy to kind of just try and ignore these things, especially the kind of internal hidden things. If we can keep things hidden from other people, we can kind of get the sense that we're doing okay. As long as no one knows about it. But that's forgetting the most significant damage our sin causes is in our relationship with God. We failed him. We're rejecting him. We're ignoring him. And it causes him offense when we don't listen. When we try to make the rules instead of respecting him. When we abuse the world that he has given us, the good gifts. When we mistreat other people that are made in his image. It's deeply offensive to God. And because of this, we owe a debt. A debt not of money. There's a debt of justice. A debt of punishment. A debt of God's anger being poured out. That we all we all owe. No matter how big you think your sin is, if it's kind of like big and external and everyone knows about it, or it's just a secret inner thing that you can keep hidden, we all have a debt to God. We deserve His anger, His punishment. Now it's easy, kind of, the world doesn't like to think about that. The world likes to kind of minimize thinking about sin and right and wrongs and kind of just, we'll all just kind of tolerate each other and get along nicely and it'll all be okay. But we don't want to fall into that trap. Especially when we're praying. It's easy to thank God for His blessings, good things. It's kind of, yep. Doing that. It's good. It's easy to ask for things when we need them. It's even sometimes it's even easy, not all the time, but sometimes it's even easy because we recognize God's greatness to praise Him for it. We're going to go, wow, that is amazing. That's incredible when we get a glimpse of it. Sometimes we're not expecting it. Sometimes it's easy to do that. But I reckon, in my experience, confessing and asking for forgiveness is the least natural part of prayer. It's the bit of prayer that I have to work hardest on. And I wonder if that's the same for you. It's hard, but it's what Jesus is teaching His disciples, His followers, to do. When you come in prayer, we need to remember that we need forgiveness. We are debtors. But just as forgiveness is the basic human condition of the need for forgiveness, kind of like the greatest fundamental hope we have as Christians, isn't it, is that there is forgiveness. That Jesus makes possible forgiveness. And that's what enables us to pray. That's what enables us to pray for forgiveness. We need forgiveness. And we can pray for forgiveness. Jesus doesn't just teach His disciples to go pray, woe is us debtors, but He teaches them to pray, forgive us our debts. Our need for forgiveness is provided for, but only in Jesus, isn't it? Now, in the next slide, I've got a couple of verses that quickly remind us of this. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15 says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Jesus came to do something about this, about our problem needing forgiveness. What did He do about it? Well, there was this incredible transaction that took place. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, we read, God made Him, made Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus lived perfectly. Jesus didn't have the debt that we did. But what happens? God arranged things so that Jesus took on our debt. He became sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. This great swap. And so, Jesus died paying the penalty for sin. He took God's anger for sin. He took the debt that we have, and He paid it with His own life. Died in our place. And because of this, Peter, the apostle, can proclaim in Acts 10:43, all the prophets testify about Him, about Jesus, that everyone who believes in Him receives the forgiveness of sins. That's the hope we have in the Gospels. Everyone who believes in Jesus, who trusts in Jesus, has forgiveness. It means that our debt is paid for. God's wiped it off our plate, onto Jesus' plate, and He has dealt with it. We are forgiven. That's great news. And Jesus teaches his disciples to pray, forgive us our sins, to ask for this forgiveness. And they can do that confidently. There's no kind of like, maybe, if you're in a good mood, possibly could you forgive us? Forgive us our sins. We know this is the provision God's made. And notice Jesus teaches his disciples to do this as part of their prayer life. It's not just part of the kind of one-time change of life moment where you realize you have this debt and that God's provided forgiveness in Jesus and you go, that's incredible, I want it. Please forgive me. It's just part of the ongoing prayer that Jesus' disciples are to pray. Why do we need to keep praying, forgive us our sins? Well, let me say, it's not because we need to keep up, because we keep sinning, we need to keep up praying for forgiveness. That's not how it works. We don't just like, we don't have to match the number of confessions to the number of times we sin. That's impossible. One, because we couldn't count the number of times we sin. It's kind of, you couldn't get your head around it, you don't even notice all the times. And it's not just in the things you do, as I said before, it's matters of the heart that you just can't kind of count up. It's part of our attitude. There's a technical word for this. It's called concupiscence, in case you ever come across it reading a book. The fact that our sin is kind of not just in individual events, it just pervades our being. And so you can't just kind of keep up. And that's not why we need to keep confessing, nor do we need to keep coming to God and asking for forgiveness. No. It's because this is who we are as followers of Jesus. We are always sinners receiving forgiveness. That's the nature of our relationship to God. That's who we are. And so we keep praying as sinners receiving forgiveness. We're not saved because we confess enough. We're saved because of Jesus, what God has done in him, and we trust that. But we keep reminding ourselves that we're sinners, and we keep expressing this in our prayer to God. It's a wonderful privilege to be forgiven. Such a great joy when we know the things that we've done wrong. We know the debt we have. And we also know that God's provided for that to be dealt with. It's a wonderful privilege to depend on this, to keep requesting it, to know that we are the recipients of forgiveness. Now let me ask you at this point, is this you? Are you someone who knows that they need forgiveness, knows they have a debt, and knows that Jesus is the only hope of forgiveness with God? Just because you're here in church doesn't mean you're forgiven. Are you trusting in Jesus for forgiveness? Have you asked God for forgiveness? And if you have done that, are you still doing that as part of your Christian life? I mean, we emphasize it here. We do it almost every week at church. We pray a prayer of confession together for this very reason. We want to remind ourselves who we are and how it is that we can relate to God. We keep doing it. But are you doing it personally? It's one of the ways that actually praying the Lord's Prayer can be a helpful reminder to us. Well, this is fantastic news. We have a debt with God because of our sin, but we have forgiveness available in Jesus. But notice in this one simple line of the prayer, Jesus also teaches his disciples that the forgiveness we have from God doesn't kind of just stop with us, and that's the kind of end of the road. But it also flows out into forgiveness with other people. Our forgiveness with God is related to our forgiveness with other people. That's what we're talking about in the final point, embracing forgiveness. See, Jesus says, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Forgive us as we have forgiven our debtors. Now, what does that as mean then? How does that relate? That's a big question, isn't it? What's the link between being forgiven from God and us forgiving other people? Doesn't mean that we need to perfectly forgive everyone else who has sinned against us so that God will forgive us. We need to kind of tick off every single person that we know, because in some way or another, we've all let each other down, and make sure that we're forgiving everyone in order that God will forgive us. Do we need to just get this one thing right? Get forgiveness right. Get it perfect to ensure that we're forgiven. Well, I hope you understand the gospel well enough to kind of know that that doesn't fit. That's not how it works. We know we're saved in Jesus by grace, not by anything that depends on us. So then how do they relate? Well, in the bit that expands it further, verses 14 and 15, Jesus says, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." What's he saying? They go together. He's saying, having one without the other doesn't make sense. If you want to embrace the forgiveness that comes from God, if you want to embrace that as a way of being in relationship, you understand that's important, then you've got to understand that that's important for your other relationships as well. You kind of can't think one way with God and then think a different way with other people. It's all good to get God's forgiveness, but then it works differently with other people. That's hypocrisy, isn't it? No, Jesus is teaching we need to embrace forgiveness from God, and we need to embrace forgiveness in all our relationships. We need to let God's forgiveness shape us. So if we humbly recognize our own sin, our debt, if we appreciate just what God has done in providing for our need in Jesus, then there's no way we can cling to the debts of other people. Kind of hold on to them, hold those sins against them. That doesn't make sense. There's no room for Christians to say, "I won't forgive you." That's not a Christian thing to say. You might need to say, "I'm really hurt and I'm confused and I'm struggling to work it all out, but I'm committed to forgiving because in Christ, God has forgiven me." You might need to think that way. There's huge difficulty, isn't there? There's so much pain that people cause us. People let us down. People mistreat us in different ways. It's not right. Forgiving people doesn't mean that we're saying it's okay. It doesn't mean that the relationship just goes back to the way it was before. It doesn't mean we have to trust the person the same. It doesn't mean that we're going to just be immediately reconciled. But it means I'm not going to hold this thing against you. I'm not going to kind of wield this debt over you. you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus, you are someone who forgives others. That's who you are. Our salvation is not depending on how perfectly we do it. But that's just part of who we are. As God's people, we're shaped to be like Him. Just like a million other things, that we are people who love, that we're a people who pursue peace, that we're a people who are joyful. We're people who are patient and kind. We don't always get it right. But that's just part of what it looks like to be one of Jesus' followers. Well, Jesus teaches his disciples to pray, forgive us our sins, forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debts. We have a need as Jesus' followers, a need to be forgiven, because we're all sinful. We have forgiveness provided for us in Jesus at great cost, a wonderful sacrifice that he made. And when we have forgiveness from God, when we have this way of life, we're shaped by it. We are forgiven. We are people who forgive. We're committed to forgiving. And we're people who pray about forgiveness, aren't we? We remember our need for forgiveness, remember who we are, sinners before God. We remember that He is the one that provides forgiveness. And Jesus teaches us to also remember that we are forgivers. Even as we pray. How are you going at that? How are you going at forgiving others? How are you going about praying for your forgiveness of others? Are there people that you ought to forgive and that you ought to pray? Pray about. Pray for yourself as you seek to forgive them, as you seek to work out what that means. It's not easy. Being a Christian isn't easy. But it is who we are called to be. It's hard. But it's who Jesus is shaping us to be by His Spirit. Forgiven forgivers. Now let me finish by reading the parable again that I started with. As we think about our attitude in prayer, think about these two prayers. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Let me pray for us. Our Father, we pray, please forgive us our debts, as we also forgiven our debtors. Father, please make us more aware of our debt. Please help us appreciate more the forgiveness that we have in Jesus. And Father, please help us to reflect who you are by being people who forgive. Please help us, especially when that's painful, when it's hard to forgive. Please equip us by your Spirit to reflect your character, to point to Jesus, the way we don't hold others' sins against them. Father, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.